Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hi, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich.
And oh my gosh, we have such a great show for you tonight. We're going to be talking to Shasta Nelson, the author of Frintimacy. And Shasta's here. Hey, Shasta, how are you doing?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
I can hear you excellently. And we have our co-host, Miss Amy Frost, joining us as well. Amy, how are you tonight?
I am fantastic. We're just getting kicked off here going fast. I'm impressed.
Yes, we are. Literally. Let's get this party started. So back about a month and a half ago, we went ahead and we did quite a few episodes with Shasta's book, Frintimacy. And gosh, right off the bat, Shasta, I just want to thank you so much for such a wonderful and insightful book.
Oh, thank you. It means so much to me to have it resonate. And thanks so much for talking through it and helping everybody process their friendship. So important.
Yeah, so important, especially for Amy and I. We're sisters, and boy, I think it just kept us from being, you know, having fist fights. Hi, Amy.
Well, I don't know about that, but it gave us, you know, Shasta, again, I just want to throw in my two cents here. So honored to have you on the show with us, and so grateful for you as a person and the work that you have done and are doing in the world. The friendship doesn't just happen, and Frintimacy were very significant for me, and the virtual book club that we did on Frintimacy, I know, has helped many people and will help many more, and that's one reason we wanted to talk to you, so we can kind of jumpstart that again and get people out there back doing the virtual book club if they want to, and certainly joining you in what you're doing, because I'd love to have you talk about, and Robin's really our lead here, but you talk about why friendship is so important.
Yeah, it's, you know, the more I study it, it's amazing that it actually is the most significant factor to, and this sounds kind of trite, but I'll come back and unpack it, but it is the most significant factor to our health and to our happiness, to our well-being. I mean, you just go down the list. There is enough studies now to show that actually how we answer the question, do I feel loved and supported, says way more about our health 20 years down the road than how we're eating or whether we're exercising or whether we're smoking. And to feel disconnected is as harmful to our health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It's just as harmful as being a lifelong alcoholic. You know, and we think about all these other life health areas that we treat really significantly, and it's really amazing to me that we are not talking about our friendships and with the same recognition of how important this is. This is not just like, oh, we need to have girlfriends and go have girls' nights, and it's like, this is not just a fun conversation. This is like the most important thing we can be doing for our health and our happiness. To me, it's the core of everything.
Yeah, this is actually something we can control, you know, relatively easily with the skills that you've helped us to really see it, break it down as skills and how to really get to know ourselves and so we can really get to know another. And to know that by doing that, you can increase your likelihood of having a really happy, healthy life.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's
mm-hmm.
pretty darn motivating.
Yeah, well, and you just captured the word of being able to say this is something within our control. Like, that is my entire message, because I think most of us, the statistics are showing that about 75% of us, so 3 out of 4 out of us listening to this phone call, you know, are going to be saying, like, I wish I had more meaningful friendships in my life. And so most of us are walking around wishing for more depth and meaning, and to actually know that it's not just something that we have to hope for, or that, you know, we just haven't met the right people yet, or, you know, that there is stuff we can do to actually increase our chances of that is super empowering.
So where are you now with everything that you've got going on? I know that there's, like you said, you're constantly, I love how you're constantly researching friendship. Is there, what's the newest thing that's really been surprising you?
Such a great question. I have been lately really doing a lot more research and paying attention to online relationships. I think there's something so beautiful about face-to-face, and I'm a big, big fan of meeting people locally. And there is just, you know, we live in a world where we can have actually really meaningful friendships, and we can talk about that more with, like, Frintimacy teaches that there's three requirements for a friendship, and we can have all three of those requirements even in virtual friendships and online. And so I've just been really kind of studying what that looks like and what that, how we can make those more meaningful and how those, you know, kind of the pros and cons of that versus the face-to-face friendships. And so really fascinating on that level. And the other area I'm really, really looking into right now is men's friendtimacy. I believe very, very strongly that men need this desperately and have less modeling and less teaching and, you know, less cultural permission to be engaging in it, but need it just as desperately. So trying to kind of think through how to help be communicating that, where we're giving the guys, the men around us, the permission to have deep, meaningful friendships with other men as well.
Wait, that is
you were saying before that that's almost like another book that you want to co-write with somebody, right?
I do. I would have written that as my second book if publishers thought men would go buy that book. So I might have to do some convincing of that first. So, but yeah, I am very, very, very convinced that there's a huge need for it.
It would be great to make it a video game. You get into a video game, the guys are like, oh yeah, let's play that together. sometimes they do, you know, when it comes to some of these, you know, online combat movies, you know, like Warcraft and all these other kinds of things, the camaraderie and things that happen with that. But unfortunately, it's the virtual reality, not, you know, being able to take that into the real world. So
yeah.
Maybe I'll plant that seed for you. How about that?
We'll do whatever we need to.
Like, yeah, exactly. Go ahead, Aime.
I'm really thinking about that. I think it's a pivotal thing in order to help women to have friendships also, because I know as I deepen relationships and create more relationships, my husband's kind of looking at me going, what about me? And and so that helps me to not feel guilty or to, you know, to pull back my punch from doing what I need by being able to support him. And really, I mean, he has friends, but he doesn't have them to the depth that I think would really be beneficial because of not really knowing how to. Most of his friends come from work, and there's only so far he can go in with them. So I think it would help us as women. And I think part of my belief is, as women in relationships with men, part of our job is helping them to with their spiritualness and also with, and I consider part of that being friendship. So I think that, Shasta, you're really on to something, because I think that's really important for not only men, but also the women in their lives.
Totally, completely. And for we're raising our sons and daughters, and they need to see that modeling. And for, you know, we're all human. That's the point, is that human beings need each other, and we need intimacy and we need connection. And this is not a gender issue. This is a human being issue. And all of us are walking around with more capacity to give love and to receive more love. And most of us are emptiness in this world when we're going around trying, getting caught up in all these other things. It's usually has some tie back to wanting to feel loved enough, wanting to feel good enough. You know, I mean, we just, like, most of us are going around unaware or aware, trying to be good enough for each other and feel like we're good enough. And to just, for me to just say, let's just go straight to the point and, like, be in loving relationships with each other, to me, would just change the nature of how we can engage in this world and the contribution we can all make.
One thing that Shasta does that I think is really wonderful in the book is she takes a lot of time to describe her triangle of intimacy and friendship. And, you know, it's positivity and consistency and also vulnerability. And I think, is there one aspect of that triangle that seems to be more challenging for people than others? I don't know why, but I would think it would be the vulnerability.
Oh, that's so interesting that you would guess that. So here I need to analyze the research more still, but here's what I'm finding is when I go and speak, I teach the Frintimacy Triangle, and then I have everybody partner up with somebody and share which one of those three they feel like is the one that they need to add more of in their friendships in general. And then when everybody comes back after sharing, I do a hand vote, you know, of just like, okay, everyone who said you need more positivity, raise your hand, and so on. And when I'm speaking, the biggest response that people feel like they need more of in their friendship is consistency. And everyone just says, I feel like I'm so busy. I feel like my friends are too busy. I feel like I'm not seeing people often enough. I feel like I don't have time to call them. And so they think that consistency is the one that is the hardest. But, and I'll just say this here, and I have not analyzed the data yet, is we have a quiz. You can go to ShastaNelson.com, and there's a Frintimacy quiz. And there's it asks you 30 questions and scores you in each of those three areas for your friendships, of which area you could improve in your friendship. And that one, by far the winning answer is positivity, meaning that most people are saying if they were to grow as a better friend, they would need to add more positivity to their friendships. So, and then with your vote of vulnerability, it might be the, you know, just the fact of we've got them all covered, but I think it will vary on different people in different circumstances. But I think, yeah, certainly it's interesting to start seeing some trends and to start tracking that and to start kind of keeping, it'll be fun to go back and analyze, you know, why in one setting people think it's the time and putting in history and that consistency. And yet in another setting, they feel like their area of growth is the positivity one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, it's looking at it like if we're going to talk about technology and all that. And I love how you talk about, you know, we're in the age of loneliness. And boy, that was just such a wake up call for me when we were going through that with the Cafe Book Club, that I really, it made me step back a little bit. But this, you know, kind of goes into this whole thing of vulnerability when it comes to, like, you know, texting and all the different things that people share. You know, that whole level of how much am I willing to, you know, put that out there for another person to really get me. So it's like, you know, I have several friends that talk about, you know, you can't hear the inflection in a voice when you text. So when it comes to being able to put something out there, and we can have as many emojis as we want, but being able to have it on that, there still can be a sense of false self in the way that you're expressing yourself, you know, using that as just like a veil of really being present with somebody, like you're saying, you know, the one-on-one, face-to-face kind of thing. So it's funny because the other day I was over visiting Amy and we wound up meeting a new friend, and I found out about him and I thought, you know, I have to meet this person. I just knew that it was something I had to do, you know, to be able to feel connected to the, you know, the whole relationship. And it's so interesting to have so many people that, you know, have never even met each other when it comes to the internet and things like that. So it's a really, I'm sure that, you know, I'm just like with you, the amount of research and stuff that's out there and, you know, how people are responding to it. It's really fascinating.
Yes, it is. And it's been such a nice, you know, most of our focus has been on romantic relationships and parenting for the last couple of generations. And so, and, you know, we've just put such an inordinate amount of emphasis on those relationships. And they are important relationships, and I am a big fan of healthy relationships and all relationships, and I just feel like our friendships are going to be the vast majority of relationships we have in our lives. You know, most of us, if you add up our spouses and our kids, that's going to be a smaller number of people than if you add up all the people we build friendships with as we go through our life, and that is and the sense of being able to feel the support looks different for many people on friendships, you know, than it does from what you can expect from your kids or in a different relationship. And so it is really nice to be starting to see more specific research showing the value of these other relationships that have less responsibility and less stress. They might have fewer, like I often say, our friendships might not have the high highs that a romantic relationship or a parenting relationship has. You know, there's just nothing that's going to beat just looking at your kid and being like, that's me. Or, you know, like having the moment of an amazing moment of romance. But they also have lower lows with those relationships. There's a lot more stress and responsibility and negotiating and punishment and fighting. And, you know, and so our friendships have a lot more of the ability to be stable and not have as high of highs maybe, but definitely not have as low of lows. And so when from a health and happiness perspective, this level of support can be just very healing in a really meaningful way that we need. So I love seeing that we're paying attention to this area much better.
Yeah, Robin, can I toss in here real quick?
Yeah.
So with this whole issue of the consistency and the positivity, I do a lot of workshops and speaking on stress management and caring for the caregiver. And what I hear so much of the time is that, oh, I'm too busy, I'm too busy, I'm too busy. And that really reflects in that consistency issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll ask
mm-hmm.
people, when was the last time you spent time with a friend, especially if you're caring for a family member and you're just exhausted? And that, you know, more times than that, I can't even remember. I can't even remember.
Mm-hmm.
And with the positivity issue, what I see all the time is that people equate friendship with a place to dump their negativity.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I love that. One of the things I love so much about your work, but I really love this positivity component. And I think it's a cultural shift for a lot of people. That's
huge.
That,
yeah.
Yes.
It's true.
Right? The relationships can be positive. They can be fun. They're not just a place to come and whine.
Yeah. And in fact, they have to be, or else we find ourselves, our consistency will go down because we don't want to go out and spend an evening after a long day of work. If we're just, I mean, we might in the moment all vent and complain, but at the end of the night, we don't necessarily want to repeat that. As, you know, subconsciously, we don't want to repeat that as much. And so what's really important is when I used to ask in audiences, you know, I used to ask people, what is a friend and how would you define a friendship? And the most common response was, you know, somebody whose shoulder I can cry on, you know, or kind of a version of, I can, whoever accepts me for however I am, and I can be my, you know, like kind of, but kind of just like I can vent and throw up on people and they still like me kind of an idea. And I always feel like that's an important part of friendship, undoubtedly. But what we teach with the positivity that's really important to keep reemphasizing is that the ratio of a healthy relationship has to be 5 positive interactions for every negative interaction or quality. And so it's not that we're saying we can't vent or we can't complain or we can't cry. What we are saying is that we have to put in 5 deposits for every withdrawal that we're going to make. And so a deposit can look like saying thank you, and it can say an affirmation, or it can be, you know, laughing together. But we have to have those moments that outlast or outweigh that negative, the complaining and the whining and the crying. Otherwise, as good as it might feel to one person, it's not a healthy relationship. So yeah, really great point, Amy, that we really, even if we're the caregiver, even if we're the one who feels like they're in crisis right now, and I have to teach that a lot because we're often making friends when we don't feel at our best. And even mm-hmm. then, even if our life feels overwhelming, even if we've got chronic pain or illness, you know, whatever the circumstances, we still have to be mindful of showing up and recognizing that we don't have to hide the negative and scary parts of our lives, but we do have to show up and add positivity and thank the other person and make sure we ask them questions about their life and make sure we're affirming them and, you know, and making sure we still can say there's good things to be grateful for and laugh at in life. And so, yeah, being able to still be mindful that it doesn't mean we have to act like Pollyanna, but we do have to. We can't always decrease the negativity in our lives, but we can always increase the positivity and to know that that's our responsibility to do so in our friendships.
So I believe going through the process in the book of Friendtimacy not only helps with friendships, but it helps the person going through it to really look at, gee, am I being negative? And maybe I can be more positive. And I think that is really huge. If we get more people looking at the 5-to-1 ratio just in general, in our workplaces,
mm-hmm.
in our homes, everywhere, things really change.
Mm-hmm.
Robin, I'm going to jump in here, but I am the program facilitator at the Veterans Transition Resource Center, and we had our big grand opening on Thursday, and Robin came in and did sessions on laughter yoga, and the rooms were maxed out. And these were people, mm-hmm. I expected people to come, but I didn't expect people to be so drawn to it. And I think that really shows that people want to laugh, but they don't really even know how to let themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, they kept hearing this great laughter from one room, you know, out of the whole office on the floor. So people kept popping their head in saying, what's going on in here? Everybody's having, you guys are having too much. They kept saying, you're having too much fun. I can say, my God, we have so much more of that fun than we're having right now. Come on.
Yeah.
And they would look at me like, what?
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, you know, when I went and got a fun bike horn and I was going around the office, you know, honking and with my clown glasses on. So people knew that, you know, something great was going to happen. So, that, you know, that helps too. Visualizers are always a good thing. So it's just very, very fun. Yeah, so I want to personally thank you, Shasta. I had a situation with my daughter, and my daughter's 25 now. So we definitely come more, we're seeking to come from more friends with each other. in our relationship. And we had a difficult circumstance the other day. And just everything that I learned in the book, I was able to be really present with her on my own responsibilities for what I needed out of the relationship and being able to express that to her. And I think before Friends of Intimacy, I wouldn't have been able to do it in the way that I did it, in a way that could be loving for her. And, you know, it really helped us to come to a new place of being intimate with one another and sharing from one another. And it ended up being a very positive, you know, experience with one another, because I was able to go to some deep things I'd had in my childhood. And I shared that with her, and she looked at me like, I never knew these things about you, Mom. So it's, you know, those kinds of things that we can be very present and, befriending one another. So I really want to thank you.
Yes. Oh, you're so welcome. And that's a great illustration of what frintimacy means. And I teach in the book, you know, there's so many different forms of relationship stages, but whatever system we each were taught in our psychology or business classes, they all have very similar flows to them, where in every relationship stage, we have like the meeting of somebody and that honeymoon stage where it feels good and we like each other. And then there's always a stage where it's kind of a little more chaotic, a little more frustrating, a little more disappointing. And then there's always on the other side of that, what we would call intimacy. One of the models that I talk about is interesting because they call it pseudo community before you go through that the deepening, and then it's community on the other side. And I think about how so often most of us, when it starts feeling a little tough or rough or not, you know, we're like kind of mad at that person for not living up to our expectations, or we are frustrated with them and we start kind of feeling like, oh, that's not fun. They didn't call me back. I guess they're not good friends. And we kind of just, we end a lot of relationships without being willing to go through that awkward stage and that tough stage. And what you just modeled with your daughter is, and obviously you guys have practiced this for more years and more in depth than most of our friendships we would. And it's not like you were planning on walking away. And yet it's so true that when we go through the awkward, it deepens the relationship. And what we actually want is on the other side of that, like that intimacy, that truer connection. And I think that's such a beautiful thing to remind our brains, because when it starts feeling awkward, when it starts feeling scary, when it starts feeling disappointing, when it starts feeling hard, our ego, our brain just wants to be like, oh, not worth it. Like, and just keep it easy, either end it or just keep it easy and try to get back to that honeymoon stage where everything felt good. And the truth of the matter is when we go through that and we're willing to kind of lean in and share a little bit and risk and open up and, you know, allow for something deeper to happen, that's actually the deeper friendships that we're craving. And so I think by us knowing that, we don't need to be scared when it happens and think, oh my goodness, this means it's a bad friendship, or oh my goodness, this is bad. And to see it like, oh yay, on the other side of this is what I've been looking for, you know, and it's a great story for you and your daughter to have. You guys have probably done that over and over and over, but every time you go through that, you build more safety in that relationship because you can now trust each other to go through tougher things together and still love each other.
Yeah, because I was in a place where, you know, I automatically went in, you know, we go into the old mode, you know, of how would I deal with that, you know, whether I'm the mother or just taking it on a personal level. Mm-hmm. And a part of me just wanted to just keep on walking away. But I stopped myself and found a place where we could be safe with one another and be able to have the conversation. And so we wouldn't have it around a lot of people. Yeah, so I just really kind of said, okay, I put the pause button on what I knew. It's like, okay, let me befriend myself so I can be in a place where I can friend her. You know, so we've just really put the pause on. And that was really coming from just all the, you know, the wonderful insights and information that you have with frintimacy. It's just really, really great. So how about you, Amy? What was a real big aha for you that since frintimacy that's really helped you to move into a new place with your knowing of yourself and others?
Let me come back to that in a minute, but I wanted to with that particular instance, I'm not finding it right off the top of my head, but I actually took a picture of that page where there's steps to deal with something when things are going on. And so I have it there on my phone from the book, you know, like how to kind of, whatever, calm yourself down, what's going on, and connect with that other person. And I just happened to be there while all that was happening, was able to be a loving, you know, unconditionally loving witness to it. And no, I don't think the two of them have ever gone to that place before, not like that. And to watch, and they allowed me to be part of that, and to watch Robin do it so beautifully It was amazing, and she's starting to live the principles. And so, and that was something I want to throw out to you, Shasta, through this conversation. Something that would be, and I have adult stepchildren, and making that transition from you're the child now you're an adult, and now we have a friendship, I think is really needed. So take that for what it's worth. I think that is a real need in this culture right now. So for myself personally, as Robin and I walk through the book and the workbook, which is beautiful, thank you for that amazing gift, it really helped you, all right, how do I dance with this information? How do I make sense of this? And now there are relationships that I thought were friends, and I love you have the scale of friends from those five different categories. And that really helped me by saying which ones are where, and just not putting so much pressure on a relationship that I thought was much more intimate, was much more deeper than it really was, and being able to face that. And there are certain people that I'm not reaching out like I used to because of that. And they some of them noticed, some of them haven't. But I know and I'm allowing new people to come forward that meet the needs that I now understand that I have. So it was a beautiful process to do, number one. Number two, to do with my sister, who I feel like I know much better now. It was such a gift, and I'm just so grateful.
That's so gratifying, and kudos to both of you for leaning in. And I use the metaphor in the book of, I think our relationships are the gym, the spiritual gym of our soul growth and of our heart. And I think so many of us would rather just, like, when we talk about the gym, most of us wish we could just be healthy, or whatever that means, whether it's lose weight or be less flabby or all that stuff. We just wish we could just be healthy without having to do anything about it, and yet we understand we can't just go to the gym once and then give up because it didn't work and we didn't lose 15 pounds or we didn't run a mile under 8 minutes or something. And so we totally understand that at the gym you have to keep showing up, and it's sweaty and you get tired and your muscles hurt and you keep doing it, and like that's how you get the results. And what the two of you were willing to do and have done with doing the workbook and practicing new skills. And I really do believe these are the gems that make us the better people. Like, we show up in all other areas of our life better people for having like shown up and said, I'm willing to go deeper with somebody. I'm willing to practice being more loving and receiving more love. And so thank you for inviting other women into that and modeling it.
So I have another question for you, Shasta. When it comes to the different women where you've got your girlfriend's circles and the women are actually going through the book, does there seem to be, because I just want to come from my personal experience. So Amy and I are going through the book with the Cafe Book Club, and then I'm having extended friends that don't really know that I'm doing the book, and we wind up going into these almost crisis situations with our friendships. Does that seem to be something kind of common for women to be dealing with something like that? Like, all of a sudden I'm reading this book and this person is, for whatever reason, the friendship's going south.
That's interesting. I've not heard that articulated. Are you saying that you think that it feels like a crisis because you're seeing like what it should be and you're like feeling disappointed in the friendship, or you've actually circumstances are changing and your friendships are actually in crisis of some form?
Well,
like, is it in your head, or is it happening externally?
It's happening externally. Because I had one friend in particular that I wasn't really sharing the book with her, but yet I was going through the information. And then all of a sudden, she just kind of changed our relationship. And I kind of, it was like a curveball that I wasn't expecting. So I kind of was just like, well, is this kind of a common thing? You start looking at it on a conscious, and then the subconscious kind of just has this stuff happening. Because I'm always believing that whatever I do consciously, subconsciously, it's going to be affecting me because my energy is changing. And that would basically, because that there's that whole thing, that whole knowing that when I change my world, everything else around me changes, whether they really know it or not, because it's me changing everything. That she just threw me a left curve that I wasn't even expecting. And I just thought, where did this come from? And,
that's interesting.
As far as I know, in my level of integrity, I wasn't really changing our relationship. I was seeking to be that much more loving and that much more available and that much more consistent. I was using the triangle. And then she kind of backed off on me.
it might just be, you know, I do agree with you. I always teach, you know, in girlfriendcircles.com, we have every month a new class that we teach. And so for everybody, so it's a community for women to come in and meet other women who value friends. And every month, everybody gets a free class. And we make a commitment to practice growing in that area for the month and everything. And so it is fun whenever, like this month, our class is on how to, like, kind of managing expectation hangovers in our friendships, the difference between what we want our friendships to be and what they actually are. And so we're having these big conversations and classes and worksheets on that this month. And it is funny that everybody, you know, lots of people are commenting like, oh, wouldn't you know that now that I'm actually paying attention to this, I'm having, like, they're seeing it in their life more. And what we don't know is, was it there and now they're seeing it better and having names for it? Or is it stuff that, like, the universe is kind of like, okay, you said you wanted to practice. Here's an opportunity to practice, you know, like, yeah. And kind of giving you your gym, you know, it's kind of like putting you on your yoga mat, being like, okay, you said you're going to grow, so here's the place to do it or the practice. Mm-hmm. And stuff. So it makes sense to me. I do think that when we choose to say something matters to us, when we pay attention to it, the way we see things starts to shift absolutely, and the opportunities to grow in that area will become invitations in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, what? And yay at the same time.
Exactly. Do I have to? I used to be a preacher or pastor, and so I used to laugh that whatever I said I was going to preach on the next weekend, I felt like inevitably that's what ended up happening. Like, you know, it was my struggle for the week, and so I started making jokes like, I am not preaching on forgiveness anymore. I'm not preaching on patience. Because it was like whatever I was preaching on, I was like, I'm just going to preach like yummy red wine and chocolate. You know, because you start being like, what is this? Some psychic joke where, like, whatever I'm trying to teach is what I have to go through. But yeah, that's the universe growing us, huh?
Mm-hmm. That just reminds me of, you know, when you're going to go buy a car and you start looking at a certain model or whatever, and you just see them everywhere. It's amazing.
Exactly.
You know, that mindset of something that you're putting out there that you're considering for something. So, yeah, that's totally it with everything on that stuff.
Yeah. So, Shasta, I'd love to have you tell people what are some of the ways that they can, you know, learn about the work and do the work, like you're talking about the workshops and the circles and all that.
Yeah, thank you. The two easiest things are, I mean, we welcome all women around the entire world now. We've just reopened girlfriendcircles.com. And this is, I'm super excited about it because it's a space where we're introducing you to other women who live near you or who have similar interests as you. And we're learning and taking classes together to make sure that all of us are growing every month. And so I'm really excited by this community. And that's girlfriendcircles.com. And that's a membership community. And of course, the book, Friends Missies, on Amazon. And that's a nice, easy way. And if anyone, as you referred to the workbook and stuff like that, anyone who buys the book, we give all that info. We give you all the access to the workbook and everything. And if it's somebody who just wants a free resource, then going to friendsintimacy.com and taking that quiz is a free resource to just kind of, to take a little test yourself and check in with yourself on that. And I write, I blog, so if anyone just wants free advice every once in a while, you know, just follow me on Shasta's Friendship blog. So if you go to ShastaNelson.com, basically, you can find me in whatever form you want me. If you want me in video or blog or social media, I would love to connect with anybody. And whatever form you want, I would hope to be, I'd love to connect with anybody.
So what's on the horizon for Shasta?
Ooh, good question. I am wanting to, I've got a few little projects. Some I'm not quite ready to start saying out loud yet, but I'm wanting to do a little bit more playing with some things around writing and some different ideas that I want to do. So I might be putting together an op-ed piece to try to pitch. And and we've got a big travel trip to Rwanda next year that we're going to be announcing soon. And I'm leading a retreat in January. So that's my big to-do this week, is getting the invitation all written up for the retreat up in wine country in January. So yeah, just kind of some big, fun events coming up that I'm really, really excited about.
So people can go to your website and basically join so they have all the different things so they're, you know, fully aware of what's upcoming up and being able to take advantage of all these great events. Okay, great.
Yeah. The two best places to go is girlfriendcircles.com if you want to join and be a part of the community. If you just kind of want to be seeing other things that are going on, ShastaNelson.com has all of that stuff up there. So.
And do you have a YouTube channel?
I do. I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but if you Google Shasta Nelson YouTube, you'll find it. Yeah, and I'm starting to make more videos lately. So, yeah, that's a good place as well.
Okay, cool. And, I mean, you know, that's always great with YouTube. You can always just join that channel, and then anytime she doesn't upload, you guys will be able to get it, you know, right away. They're so good about that nowadays. Because you want to watch the next video. You're like, oh, my God, okay, yeah, I guess I do.
Because you can't wait 5 more minutes. You must watch this.
No, it's got to be now, and it's got to be now. It's got to be now. Okay. How about you, Amy? Anything you'd like to add with Shasta?
I think it's really important that people start looking at, we have, what are my friendships and what kind of friendships do I want to have in my life? And one of my passions is self-care, and I think one of the most important components of self-care is having friendships that make a difference in your life. So please do the work to get that skill into your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I love Shasta. If you go back to thetransformation-cafe.com, you can go back and listen to all our Cafe Book Club, you know, with those whole episodes. I think we have 7 episodes.
Mm.
And each one of them, my husband Andy has just done a beautiful production job of just the whatever current videos were going on with Shasta. We've got those added to that. There's links to articles and things like that, because she's got stuff at the Huffington Post and things like that that are available. And just really being able to just get an overall look of everything. But, you know, go buy the book and get the free workbook and be able to do it. An evaluation with everything. And if, you know, find somebody, you know, or a small group of women that you can go ahead and do that with too. If you go to your website, do you have it where you can help people? I mean, you do have a book study that's also available with that as well as just the workbook, right?
Yeah. Yes. So we've got discussion guides and stuff like that. It is a great thing to do with a group of people that you're building a relationship with or that you know, you know, through church or through work. I go into a lot of corporations now and do helping teach, because we need healthy friendships at work too and stuff, you know, so it's a fun, it's just a fun conversation to have everywhere. We need healthy relationships. So yeah, it's great to do it with
everybody,
people, not just by ourselves. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, really. You're interacting with somebody on a regular basis. Yeah, I need some intimacy. It's all good. Ms. Shasta, thank you so much for joining us. Oh, my gosh, this has been such a pleasure. And thank you again for that wonderful book. I look forward to your next endeavor and whatever that is, and we'll make sure to have it in the Cafe Book Club.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you both women for just helping talk about this and do it in your life. I know you're both helping connect and gather women all the time. And so just huge thanks for that. It is. And I'll just say one more thing to everybody who's listening. You know, we talked about the age of loneliness, and it's really an age of unacknowledged loneliness. We have, I think the first step is just admitting there's something in me that would love to love and, you know, give love a little bit more and receive love a little bit more. And it's so scary to admit that, because we're afraid that if we admit we're lonely, that it somehow means nobody likes us, or we don't have friends, or, you know, we're afraid it means something bad and has a stigma. And the truth of the matter is, it's like a feeling of like being hungry or tired. It's just information that your body's giving you that you're made for more love than this. And so what you ladies are doing is helping provide that love in so many different forms. And so thank you for that. And yeah, blessings on all of us as we kind of just pay attention to our bodies, saying we would like to feel more connected to people and doing something about it.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us. So we will see you next time here at the cafe. And, you know, go out there and just be a friend and embrace a friend.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.